your source for everything paranormal. Para X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Metaphysical, paranormal, you know, all those things you've been wondering about. Are you ready to go deeper into the realms of the unknown? I hope you've got your walking shoes on, because life is an adventure, and this is the journey. Come on, let's go. Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Jen Cruz, your host tonight, and this is the Journey Radio Show. We are talking about Bigfoot, monsters, and cryptids tonight. We have a very special guest. So, of course, when we're talking about Bigfoot at all, we're showing up as the She Squatchers. So, hey, I'm Jen Cruz, the leader of the She Squatchers, the Midwest's first all-female Bigfoot team. And my co-host tonight is my fellow She Squatcher, Jenna Grover, but she's frozen on my screen right now, so I'm sure she'll be back later. So I'm going to just introduce our guest. Wait, here comes Jenna. Let me add her to the call. And it'll take her a little bit to come on. Maybe she'll come on in time to join us live, but maybe not. I'm just going to bring Zach on. Our guest tonight is Zach Sterik. He is the co-founder and team leader of the Southern Illinois Monster Hunters. So, hey, Zach, how you doing? Are you there?
Oh, I'm still here and I'm still kicking.
Awesome. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you on, and so we can talk about Bigfoot and all the rest and everything that's going on in your Monster Hunter world. So let's get started. Let's see here. I got to make sure the chat room is up and running. And hello, everyone in the chat room. I see we've got ECBRO in the house in the chat. So woe to Daniel Benoit. Whoop. At the Virginia Bigfoot Conference, which is going on June 30th and July 1st in Fishersville, Virginia. So, aren't you going to be there, Zach?
Oh, you better believe it.
So, what's going on with that? You want to tell us a little bit about it?
Well, happened back in around the first of the year, Daniel contacted me, and he asked me, are you planning on coming to the conference this year? And I said, well, if I get the chance to, I will. And he goes, because I really want you to be the MC for the event. And I said, no kidding, because I about had a stroke whenever he asked me that. I froze up, and I'm like, are you serious? And he goes, yeah, I'm dead serious. And I said, sign me on. And that's where we are today. I'm MC for the biggest thing happening on the East Coast, the ECBRO Virginia State Bigfoot Conference. I invite everybody to come out. We got an all-star lineup especially. You get to see me, Ron J. Moorhead, the She Squatchers, of course. You get to see Daniel Benoit, Baltimore Galvan Jr., Dr. Kimberly McGeorge, Darby Orcutt, the Ohio Night Stalkers, Mike Miller and Mike Feltner, Bill Lancaster will be there, Ed Brown will be there. The list goes on and on. It's going to be an amazing thing that's going on. And I invite everybody. The tickets are still on sale at $20 a pop, and that is dirt cheap, guys. I hope to see everybody there in Fishersville, Virginia, at the Augusta Expo Hall for this monumental event.
I am totally going to be there.
I hope so. You're speaking.
I know I'm first on the lineup, aren't I? I think so.
Yeah, you are.
And Jenna's in the house. Jenna, are you there?
Whoop, whoop. Pun intended.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, how you doing, girl? I'm glad that you got it figured out and you're back on the line.
Oh, me too. Does anybody else out there ever have, like, problems only when you need the computer the most? Wow.
Yeah, that happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I see Dr. John Stamey is in the chat room right now. He's our guest next week, so everybody make sure that you tune into the show next week because we're going to be talking about a possible connection.
Hi, Dr. Bigfoot, John.
Between Bigfoot and Lizard Man. Ooh. So he's going to help us to explore that possibility next week. And don't forget about the Lizard Man Festival. Check it out at lizardman.com. Everybody go and check that out. It's going to be really the bomb. I'm so sad I don't get to be there. Maybe next year. Maybe next year. Hint, hint.
There you go.
Oh, I see EC Barrow is saying that we're going to be working the kissing booth again at the Virginia Bigfoot Conference. That's just wishful thinking there, isn't it, Daniel? That's just wishful thinking. Besides, everybody would go broke at our booth. They wouldn't buy anything else. What's that?
I said they'd go broke and they wouldn't have a venue, a lineup, or attendees if they put me in that thing.
That's right. If he wants to make money, he'd have to put us in there. I'm just kidding. Oh, I'm just kidding. Oh, Dr. John says Lizard Man loves us guys. Well, we love Lizard Man. We love Lizard Man. So we can't wait. So, you know, everybody's always asking me, how is it that I know about all the latest in the Bigfoot world? And I got to tell you, I just got to tell you that I promised to answer this question on the air tonight. So let me get straight to that. The gateway to the latest in Bigfoot news, where I find it, Jen from the Shoe Squatchers, is the BigfootPortal.com. It's the anchor site to news published within the latest 24 to 48 hours. And there you'll find articles, podcasts, video blogs, recent sightings, commentary, and audio. You can visit the featured author section for reading material and to find what is happening in your area. Their calendar features expeditions, campouts, events, conferences, meetings, live casts, and regularly scheduled shows. Visit thebigfootportal.com and follow them on Facebook and Twitter for all the latest Bigfoot updates. Remember, that's thebigfootportal.com. That's where I get all of my good, juicy info and stay up to date on everything in the Bigfoot world. So check it out, everybody.
Thebigfootportal.com. Yeah.
Oh,
sorry. That was a little commercial.
Jenna, you're so good at that impromptu stuff. Try it again, because I was talking in the middle of it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll try to do it as well as I did it the first time. TheBigfootPortal.com.
Thank you. Thank you. I love that.
You guys really should check out TheBigfootPortal.com, because you know what? It is really cool. One of the gals, her name is Maria. She's absolutely fabulous. Shout out to Maria. You are wonderful at what you do.
I love Maria. I have every reason to feel that way. Just saying, okay, I'm gonna back off now. Back to Zach.
It's the Zach attack.
Yeah, he's like, what about me? All right, so Zach, are you in Crab Orchard, Illinois? Is that where you live?
I live
in Indiana.
Illinois, Indiana. I live about 7 miles from Crab Orchard on the north side of Route 13, right on the Williamson County, Saline County line on a little cattle farm.
Awesome. So tell us, how long have you been looking for researching and looking? How did you get started doing this crazy thing called monster hunting?
Well, it started about 13 years ago. Let's see, I was about 9-10 years old. And leading up to that, my mom had always kept me interested in monsters and stuff like that. She always drove me to be curious about everything. And I got started watching Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, the Mummy, the Invisible Man. Not talking about the new stuff. I'm talking about old Universal, Bela Lugosi, Glenn Strange, Boris Karloff.
All the good stuff.
Yes, I was brought up on the old school stuff, and that's where I really got started, thanks to my mother, and she's now my research partner. She really got me started, but really started centering around Bigfoot whenever I was 9-10 years old, whenever I had my first encounter in Randolph County, Illinois, but whenever I heard the scream of the Bigfoot for the first time, and after I had that one encounter, I always heard about monsters in the woods and everything growing up. And after I heard that scream, I wanted to know more. So the next week I was in school, I started really hitting the books and everything in our little elementary library, and I picked up a book called Bigfoot, Man, Myth, and Mystery by Carrie Carmichael. And it was a little book, I want to say probably about a half inch thick. And it didn't have a lot of words in it, a lot of pictures in it, but it was packed full of information for how big it was. And it told stories of mine prospectors being kidnapped by Bigfoot and took back to their cave where its mate and its two young was. And the one iconic image that stuck in my brain was the image of the Patterson-Gimlin footage of the Squatch looking over its shoulder at Roger and Bob. Mm-hmm. That's where it all started for me. And then I was introduced to the Patterson-Gimlin footage about a week later. And like they say, the rest is history.
Nice.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. So, what amazing stories would you like to share with us tonight?
I don't know. There's a lot of them. Pick one.
You're the one who knows all your stories.
Well, let's see. The latest, hairiest encounter that I had was a year ago. It just rolled over past the 1 year anniversary that it happened. We've been really starting to keep track, me and my mother and my little brother, about certain changes in the woods, certain sounds we was hearing of a night, what time of the month they was happening. Well, for every night for the last prior 3 weeks, we've been hearing screams and howls coming out of the woods. And finally, one night on the full moon, I told my mom, I said, I'm going down in the woods, and I'm going to figure out and try and see if there's any sign of them in those woods. And she said, okay, just be careful. Well, usually I go and I would have a shotgun with me, and I pack a gun in the woods. I know that makes a lot of people mad, but I do it for self-defense because out here we've got mountain lions, wolves, coyotes, bobcats, rattlesnakes, copperheads, anything you could think of could kill you, we got it. But we don't have any bear. And that night I just packed a Bowie knife with me, and I had it strapped to my hip, and I had my cell phone with me. That's along with my little headlamp and my lantern, which I got sitting here in the truck with me now. And I just went in there low tech, didn't take a lot of my gear with me. And I told my mother, I said, I'm up here on the hill right on the corner, and I'm walking back in on foot. Didn't take the four-wheeler or the side-by-side with me, and I just went down in this little stretch of woods I call Sasquatch Hollow, which is a hotbed of activity, and it's my main research area. And it runs north to south, and then it crosses a creek, and it runs east to west at the southernmost end. So I start at the north end, and I start walking just casually walking down through that stretch of woods, and didn't really hear nothing, didn't see nothing out of the ordinary. And I crossed the creek and I got into the east to west stretch, and at that time my legs were starting to burn and everything, and my back was starting to knot up. So I sat down on a stump and I sat my lantern down next to me, and just taking a breather, I turned my little audio recorder I had on my cell phone on. And I started making a vocal note for me to write down in my journal for what I keep. I keep whenever I do research, I have a journal at the house. And I shut the recorder off, put the phone back in my pocket. I take my can of dip out, and I put a dip in my lip, put the can in my pocket, and I pick up my lantern, and I start going on to the east side. And didn't find nothing on the east side, so I turned around, and I went back west. Got about halfway through that east to west stretch, and that's when all cane broke loose. I heard a real big hickory tree come crashing down through the canopy, and it sounded just like the trees fall whenever a lumberjack knocks it down. That thing hit the ground hard.
Oh, wow.
And then I heard something break loose up on the hill, and it come down, and on that the east side hill of the northwest stretches are creek, and that creek will usually get about 4 feet deep. And that thing come off the side of that bank, and it was a steep bank coming off that hill going into the creek, and it cannonballed that creek. And you could hear it sloshing in the water coming up out. And in the moonlight, coming through that little meadow, I could see a big set of shoulders and a big frame of a body coming, running right towards me. So I turned tail and I ran. And like everybody says, you're not supposed to run from anything that's could be a possible predator because it instigates the chase in them. I ran. I usually will stand my ground, but this thing was bigger than I was, and I wasn't going to stand a chance of squaring off with this thing. So I turned tail and I ran. And I called my mother and I said, get down here and pick me up. I'm down here in the draw. I got a Bigfoot on my butt, and he is mad. Get down here and get me out now. And so she called, and so she hung up the phone, and I went running to the road that runs right along the creek that runs along the east to west stretch. And we have a 5-strand barbed wire fence that stands about 5 foot high. I'm 5'9", and I high jumped that.
Wow.
I high jumped it, and I went, I cleared it, and my coat caught on. I jerked my coat loose, and I had a black duster on at the time, trying to blend in with the darkness. So I jerked that off, and there's a culvert, big concrete culvert that's about 4 feet across. I got in that up underneath the road, and I turned my light on. I started shining that thing at both ends. I took that Bowie knife out, and I stuck it straight against my chest, and I got as far in the middle of that thing as I could, so that way if they wanted to come get me, they was going to have to crawl in there and grab me, and hopefully I'd have a chance of getting out the other side after I sunk my knife into him. Well, then here I can hear my mom coming down the hill towards where I was at underneath the road, and she stopped and laid on the horn right there in that little clearing on the road, and I come out the other side of that culvert, and I scrambled up the bank, and I got in the Jeep, and I said, get me out of here. And of course, my truck was about a half mile back up the road. I wasn't going to go up that 45 degree angle hill trying to get back to my truck, because that thing would have pulled me down in rough terrain, and that was rough as could be. I had no chance of getting out of there on foot, so I called for backup. She dropped me off of my truck. I drove home. I actually passed her on the way home. I was doing about 60 on that country road trying to get home. And I pulled in the driveway, and she pulled in, and I rolled down the window of my truck. And she said, what happened? I said, I done something, because they got mad real quick, and they come after me. I didn't go back in the woods for a month.
Oh, wow.
A month?
Yeah, I didn't go back in the woods for a month. And so,
wow.
I went and I contacted a friend of mine that lives over in the next county, and he's a Cherokee and Shawnee historian. And I told him about what happened and asked him if you could look up, because I've heard researchers go and say that Bigfoot learned and kind of like mimic stuff that the Native Americans that lived in the area did back hundreds of years ago. And he said, what it sounds like is it was a rite of passage that they was doing. They was trying to get you to square up to him and face off, so that way, you know, it wouldn't be like, it's like a rite of passage like the elders did with the braves. And I said, well, what do you suggest? He says, go back in a month on the same kind of night it was. And I said, well, it was full moon. He said, go back on the next full moon. So I go back. I wore the same thing I wore the night I had my encounter. Walked in the same path I did. Had my lantern and my headlamp, and left the Bowie knife in the truck. And I said, well, here goes nothing. I get down to the north end, and I get about a quarter way down, and I look over to my left because I was heading south at the time. I look over to my left where the creek bank is, and I see one peek its head up over the bank and look right at me, and it was probably about 10 foot from me, and it was a little one.
When you say little, how little?
Well, that bank is about 4.5 foot tall, and I was seeing it from the chin up, looking over the bank at me, and it was standing straight erect. And I jumped and I screamed, "Get out of here!" And it turned around. It ran back up the hill.
You scared him.
He jumped. He jumped back. He fell back on the rocks and turned around and ran up all fours trying to scramble to get his footing back. And he took off up that east hill. So I went back south. And again, I heard the tree crash again. And I heard one come down the creek. And, of course, the creek had dried up in a month. We was having a real bad dry spell over that last month leading up to this. And you could hear it hit the rocks. And it's loose sandstone. And you could hear it crunching in the rocks. And it come up out. And it come and it got halfway across that meadow in that north-south stretch whenever I was in the east to west. And it just stopped. And I looked and I said, "I'm not running this time. No." And it just went, and it turned around and it walked back up that east hill. I turned around and I walked back up that hill that I said I couldn't get up, walked back to the truck and went home.
And that's it?
That's
wow. Wow. I mean, that's an incredible story. My question is, how long had you been looking for Bigfoot before this happened?
About 12 years. So it was just a year ago, and this last March marked 13 years of me doing this.
Wow. Congratulations.
And, I mean, they were the ones I seen in the moonlight and was brown, kind of like a, I want to say salt and pepper, brownish color, had little streaks of gray in it. And I can honestly say I have had, there is different scale encounters, 1 through 3, type A, type B, type C. I've had all three. I've heard them.
So what are the different types? Do you know how to define them?
Well, if I'm remembering this right, it's been so long since I've read what they was, but
there's wind coming on there somewhere. There we go. That's better.
But it was it was where you're hearing them is type A. Type B is when you're seeing them outside of 300 yards, and then type C is when you're seeing them at around 50 yards or closer.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
And cool. I'll put my hand on a stack of Bibles, and I'll tell you, I've seen these things hunt. I believe I actually busted them whenever they was mating a couple years ago, because I found a male with two females.
Oh, not just one-on-one, a male with two females. That's every guy's dream, isn't it?
He had a little harem. I call it whenever they have a bunch of females, I call it a harem. And I've seen them hunt. I believe I've seen them mate. I've been in the middle of low ground, and they had the high ground, and there was two alpha males screaming at each other and getting closer, about ready to clash. I've actually had physical contact with two in my lifetime. And I tell you, that's the kind you do not want to have.
Okay, would you be able to explain what happened?
Physical contact.
Yeah, happened. It was back 2016, back in November 2016, whenever I had my first annual Bigfoot campout. And it was the last night. The night before, we had had them around camp, and we'd found a footprint about 500 yards away from camp that had been a couple days old. And the dog that we had with us, she had what I believe been smacked by one, because you could hear it sounded like whenever flesh meets flesh with an open hand slap on the face. And the dog yelped as she come back, and she stayed at camp, and she slept in the tent with me that night. And she was fine the next morning. That last night, my cousin Kyle said he seen one at the north edge of camp, and this was in the same area that I got run out of. And he said he saw a red eye shine about 8 foot up, standing next to a tree. And it was right outside where the light from the fire was. There was no flashlights or lanterns. It was just all campfire. And his watch ended at midnight, and I told him, I said, "Just go to bed, and don't worry about it. We're leaving out of here tomorrow, and I don't think we're going to have any activity that tonight. Boy, was I wrong. About 4 o'clock that morning rolls around on that Sunday. I'm laying in the tent, and my tent starts shaking real bad with me in it. And I thought it was my cousin Kyle messing around with me. And I said, Kyle, knock it off. And it got worse. It got more violent. It got to the point where one corner of my tent was coming up off the ground like this, just jerking down, up and down. And I'm getting tossed around like a rag doll in that tent, and you could hear a heavy breathing outside. I had stakes in the ground, a foot in the ground, and these were the big industrial-style stakes, and it jerked it up out of the ground. And so I felt my foot hit something at that corner, so I kicked through that tent with my steel-toed boot. And you talk about hard-bodied, there was no give to this thing. You might have had better chance of kicking a brick wall. And I made contact with it, and you heard, rawr! And it dropped the tent, and I thudded to the ground because my feet were up in the, up about 2 foot off the ground at an angle. And I come down on the ground, and you could hear it kicking through the leaves, walking through the tall grass as it walked away.
Wow, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second,
that is nuts.
And then the second one I had, it was in the fall of last year. I was out on a night hike, and it was real foggy that night. We'd been having rain and everything, the humidity, and it was just real thick fog, so thick you could cut it with a knife. And I was back there in that same area up on that east hill this time, and it was coming real thick through the fog, and I could hear something following me. Well, my light, you know how whenever you shine a high beam or a low beam on fog, it's just like trying to hit a wall. You better have a better chance of seeing through a brick wall. I hear something come up behind me, and that thing just grazed me on the shoulder, and it rolled me like a pumpkin.
It touched you?
Yeah, physically.
Oh, okay. How did it touch you? Like, with its hand? What happened?
It shoulder blocked me whenever it come running by me. It just hit me with its upper body, and it knocked me down. And you think getting hit by a linebacker in football is hard? It was harder than that. I had a bruised shoulder for about a week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So Daniel's in the chat room asking, didn't you have trees or a train thrown at you? Is that the same time?
Yeah, that was the one whenever the tree was thrown down. The one I just told you guys about 5 minutes ago, whenever I got run out.
So tell us about the tree.
Well, hang on.
Hang on just a second. We're about ready to go to break, and we'll save that for after the break. We're going to have to do our 2-minute commercial break at the half-hour mark of the show. So everybody just stay tuned, and we'll come back to ask Zach about those trees getting thrown at him by the Squatch. And I want to hear more about him getting checked by the linebacker Squatch.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back in 2 minutes with Zach Sterik. Stay tuned, everybody.
Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald from GHI, and you're listening to the Para-X Radio Network.
I'm Jenna Valadez with The Basement Files. Tune in Friday nights, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Rhett, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlett?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Demons. Vampires. Werewolves. Skinwalkers. All of this and more. nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they are not dead. We know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on Para-X.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. This is the Journey Radio Show. And when we are not live on the air, you can find us online at thejourneyradioshow.com. And please do check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thejourneyonradio. And hey, we're the She Squatchers. Find us online at shesquatchers.com or our Facebook page at facebook.com/shesquatchersofficial. And remember, She Squatchers Official is how you can find our YouTube channel. So please check us out there. And hey, hey, we're the She Squatchers. I'm Jen Cruz, and I've got Jenna Grover on the line with me. Our special guest tonight is Zach Sterick from the Southern Illinois Monster Hunters. We're talking about monster hunting. And right before the break, Zach had shared about how a tree had been thrown at him, how a Bigfoot had pretty much ran by him and checked him like a linebacker, and he was bruised all the way down from his shoulder blade to the small of his back. So we want to hear more about that. The questions are piling into the chat room. And if you're listening to us any other way than at para-x.com, you might be listening on some radio app on your phone. But if you want to join the live chat, it is located at para-x.com. And just click on join the chat now. So if you have questions that you'd like to ask live on the show, go ahead and find us there. So we're going to ask a little bit of these questions here in the chat room. Kat wants to know, how near to the time he shouted at the little one and scared it did the attack on your camp begin?
Good question.
Whenever they come into camp, that was November 6th of 2016. And then whenever I seen the little one, it was about April 18th or the 16th of 2017. So it was about December, April, about 5 months.
So did you yell at it first, or did it check you first?
Well, the little one that I seen, this was a totally different occurrence that this happened. And the one that checked me was about a month and a half later.
So you yelled at it first. So perhaps yeah. That was your sign of aggression, maybe?
Could it be.
And maybe, okay.
You'll know if it was the same one, but the one that checked me was about the same size. Like, I'm 5'9", and I'd say it was probably about maybe 6'3", 6'4".
Wow. And about how much do you think it weighed?
It'd take a lot to move me. I weigh 230. So I'd say he must have weighed about 350.
Wow. Pretty cool. So I just got to say, there's someone in the chat room called Mama Squatcher. And she's sharing some interesting information and baby pictures. Just kidding.
That's funny, Jen. Good one.
There's no baby pictures.
I just want to give a special shout out to my mom. I love you, and I'll see you later, Mom.
And she said she's very proud of you. So, but she's sharing some information about you, saying that you've been fascinated since you were very, very young in this Bigfoot phenomenon. And she talks about how they struck your house last fall, and they knock on the outer walls of your younger brother's room. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, yes, I can. It scared the bejeebers out of her. She can tell you a little bit about that, too, at a later date. It started about in July of last year. my parents are divorced, and my dad gets my little brother on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and he comes home on Thursday morning. They would start coming, and they would just go like one, two, three on the outer wall next to the corner of the house where his headboard is, and all he would do is pound back one, and they'd quit. And they were doing this about maybe one night a week, two nights a week. Well, one night they picked a particular time to come around where my brother was at my dad's over in the next county on visitation. And they sat there, Mom said, for 3 hours nonstop, periodically, one, two, three, one, two, three, like every 5-10 minutes. And I was dead to the world asleep at this time. And she sits up late at nights because she's a night owl. And she sat there and listened to it for the longest time. And then about 3 hours later, it come around to the east side of the house that faces our woods behind our house. And it just waylaid, hammer-fisted the side of the house so bad that it knocked stuff off the walls. And it rattled the big storm window we have right next to our dining table. And it scared her to death.
So, question for you. Do you think it's being aggressive, or do you think it's more playing like games with you and seeing what your reaction would be?
I believe there's not really nothing aggressive that would entail for them to do this. I think it's just playful nature, because my little brother at the time, he was 15 years old, and I believe because he's still pretty much young and a child, and he still sounds like a little child at the time, and before his voice started changing, and he had the high-pitched voice. So I think that they was drawn to his voice. And not only that, whenever, like in weather like this now, we have the windows open, and my mom sings a lot in the house. My mom is a tenor, and she sings a lot and plays the piano. And there's a lot of other reports that I've read and theories that they're attracted to human females and the sounds of sweet music. And I think that's what's been attracting them and bringing them up towards our house.
So you don't think
that gives us some ideas for our squash and adventure, Jenna?
I know, right? We already sing, so let's keep doing it. No, I was going to ask you, Zach, you know, are these the same beings, do you think? Do you think these are the same Bigfoot? And if they are, is it because of this bond that you've kind of created?
Well, I believe they've been on our land long before we was. Our farm was settled whenever Charles Frederick and James Arthur Stark come over from Germany in 1840. I think they've been here longer than that, because my mother even has encounters with them where she saw one. She believes she saw one when she was 5 years old standing up on the front porch of the house she grew up in, which is only just down the hill, 3/10 of a mile from where we're at. And she said she called it the old man. And
oh, wow.
Standing right there looking in the kitchen window of the house. And she's seen him about a year ago in August in that same area where we live at. My main research area where all this has happened in the first part of the show, we live on that farm, and that's a part of our farm. Just right up the hill from where I got run out of, she was coming home from working at Dillard's with the Estee Lauder, and she saw one walk right across the road in front of her out of the woods from that side of the road I was run out of.
Wow.
It would be so interesting to see if she would ever explain what they look like to say an artist and see what kind of a picture. I'd love to see what she saw.
Well, I mean, my mom's real quiet and everything. She told her encounters on a show, Shaky's Porch Talk, back in November, and that's pretty much the only person she's come out to. And I bet if you asked real nice, she would come on the show and tell a little bit about it.
Oh,
I bet you if we sweet talked her, I could get her to come on. I'm already friends with her.
Oh, that's cool.
I like her. I like her a lot. Is she going to come to the Virginia Bigfoot Conference?
Oh, yeah.
She's coming?
Yep.
So we get to meet Mom.
Get to meet Mama Squatcher.
Yeah, I'm excited. Everybody's got to meet us there. It'll be June 30th and July 1st. And the Fishersville, Virginia, the VirginiaBigfootCon.com. Check it out. Check it out. You can meet Zach and us, the She Squatchers, and a whole bunch of really other cool Bigfooters. But hey, we're probably the coolest ones there, though, right, Zach?
What? I can't hear you.
What was that, Zach?
Okay, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
Wow, he's such a sweet talker. I bet you get all the ladies.
I bet so too. Crazy guy.
Crazy guy. Jeez. All right. So you remember that everything's happening at the Augusta Expo. I saw pictures of that venue place. It's absolutely huge. How are we going to fill that up with stuff? Is that the Duncan booth for Zach?
I say we put Daniel in and see how much water that beard soaks up.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. I love it. That sounds good.
So I've got a question, if you don't mind, Jen.
Go for it.
Okay. How is it working with your mom? You said that she was your partner. How is it?
I love it. I mean, me and her, we're like two peas in the pod, and we get along. And my mom's my best friend, first off. She's my mother, and then she's my best friend. We get along so much, and because we have shared in our lifetimes, we've shared such similar encounters, it's easy to work with my mom. And especially with my little brother, he's had his encounters. And it started with the Southern Illinois Monster Hunters. It started with me and him. And I kept asking my mom, I said, for years, I said, have you ever had any kind of encounters like this? And she kept saying no. And finally I said, Mom, I can tell you're hiding something, so just come clean with me. I ain't going to judge you. I ain't going to make fun of you. I just want to know, are you seeing what I've been seeing? And she says, sit down. I got some stories to tell you.
Nice.
Wow. So she was not even willing to talk to you about it for the longest time.
No, this is about maybe, I was about the same, about 13 years ago, I think she said, her and my little brother, and that again, in that same draw that I got run out of, that she picked me up out of, her and my little brother, whenever he was a little kid, I think he was about maybe, I want to say about four, five, six, they were down there in that valley picking blackberries, and she heard something coming across on that south hill, which I call South Knob. And she heard something coming across, and she knew it wasn't a deer because it didn't sound quadrupedal. It sounded bipedal. And she jumped like you would to spook a deer, and it didn't take off. And she had that eerie feeling like she was being watched. So she got her and my brother out of there. And my mom didn't go back until 10 years later when I went back with her with a shotgun.
Wow. So how did she... I mean, I'm a mom. If my kids were wanting to go out and chase Bigfoot and I believed in Bigfoot, I think I'd have a little bit of a problem with that. Just saying. If I wasn't along. I mean, how did she feel about that? Did she give you any hassle about it at first? Or?
Well, I mean, there's so much going on and everything. Mainly, she's not worried about me in the field. Like, if I go to Ferncliff State Park, which is one of my other main research areas. There's a lot of high cliffs. In the last 8 months, two people have died, one being my close friend, Charles Gill.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and it's a dangerous place and everything, but you got to be willing to take the risk to go out there and actually find these evidence, because it's always in some of the most rugged terrain that I've found evidence of Bigfoot, and it's some of the prime habitat for a Bigfoot if it wants to stay there and set up home. It's got plenty of food and water sources, and it's got plenty of cover, and it's got plenty of caves and overhangs to hide in. And it's just prime habitat. And, of course, my mom is always telling me, let me know when you get there. Check in with me every so often. And that she's just being mom and everything, and she lets me go out and she lets me do my thing, and I let her do her thing. She's basically my armchair researcher. She does a lot of the findings for me. We go and we compare notes. We talk about it and everything. We try to compare and contrast certain things. And I just love working with my mom. My mom is awesome. That's the best way to put it.
That's fabulous. I'm really close to my mom, too, so totally get you. Love it.
Me, too. I was trying to get my mom to come squatching with us because we have a Bigfoot expedition coming up. I'm like, Mom, you should come squatching with us. She didn't think that sounded like a good time.
Well, your mom is so cool, too. I just love her mom. She's like my mom.
Well, my mom is pretty much everybody because she adopts just about everybody.
That's sweet.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
My mom used to go in the field with me a little bit, and then last year she had a real bad knee injury, and she's not able to hike with me anymore, so she rides around with me in the side-by-side. If we do go out, which is very rare, I'm basically the one that's doing all the footwork. She's just doing basically the record-keeping and the research for me.
When do you guys
got a question?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jen.
Oh, no, it's the chat room. Chat room, Kat is asking, what does Zach think of the tree structures or the stick structures? If you've seen any, and what do you think they build them for and why?
Oh, boy. Well, there's a lot of theories
behind
that. And
on top of that, Maria from the Bigfoot Portal wants to know if you've seen any glyphs. So if that might all fit together.
I've seen plenty of tree structures. There's actually right now I've been checking this area behind our house where all the activity has been coming. We believe to be a corridor for them. And right now, standing right there about 100 yards behind the house, there is two tree structures, one that's about 12 foot tall and one that's about 6 foot tall, sitting right next to it. And they're just teepee pyramid shaped. And not far below that, about 200 yards, there's two arches that come across the trail. And then down at the base of that little hill, there's a creek. And there's like five or six rock stacks running along that property and onto our property on the next around the other side of the fence line. And there's like five or six rock stacks running right along that creek. So I think that rock stacks are like territory markers and travel route markers. Whenever it comes to structures, I believe that's territorial markers. There are certain structures that I find where it's like points on a compass where they usually they're pointing north, south, east, west. I think that I call those compass structures because they're the majority of them I've seen and I've checked with people that's turned in pictures like that to me. I say, which directions are they pointing? And they use the 90% of them say north, south, east, west, and I call them compass points. Because there's always like a little notch in it that shows a difference in of a direction. And with the bigger ones, I believe the bigger the teepee structure, the bigger the squatch is that's making them. And I believe those are territory markers and saying, you know, this is my area, stay out of it.
So are they pointing towards water sources? Is that what they're doing or...?
Well, I believe so. I found one compass structure in my lifetime about 2 years ago, and one, it was pointing towards the north point of it was pointing towards a cornfield, which I believe they do use cornfields whenever it's high for travel routes. The western point on it was pointing to a creek, the same creek that the one cannonballed. And that'd be a water source. The eastern one was pointing towards where a well-trodden game trail was. And then the southern side was pointing to where my cattle was, at the where the cattle usually graze at. So I believe that was where a food source was.
Where's the beef? It's that-a-way.
Funny.
Right? Oh, okay. So, have you found any den-like structures?
One?
What did it look like?
It was built up under some deadfall, And this one wasn't even on my property. It was over in the next county on a little around a little village called Harco. And it was on a friend of mine's property, me and her. This is back whenever I was working at Ison Manufacturing, and I worked third shift. I'd go over there once a week to have breakfast and hang out with her. We were just riding around in the gator, and we come around the trail, and I look up inside the tree line, probably about maybe 100 feet, and I said, "Stop this thing," and I jumped out before she even applied the brakes. And I went running up to this thing, and there was a bed in the area that was made up out of pine needles, and it was a deadfall tree that had a little bit of cover put up over it to, I guess, shield it from the elements, and there was a bedding area in there made of pine needles.
So we have a question in the chat room. Maria is asking, where do you think they live? Are there caves in southern Illinois? Do you think that's where they live? Are they underground? Are they in the trees? What's going on?
Well, there is a lot of national parks where they could hide out at. Around here, there's the Ferncliff State Park, the Garden of the Gods. The Shawnee National Forest is basically my backyard. There's the Wren Lake Wildlife Preserve, the Crab Orchard Wildlife Preserve, the Tuttle Bottoms. There's a lot of old coal mines out here. There's an old coal mine just, I want to say, about maybe 5 miles from my house called Brushy, which was run by Western Fuels for about 30 years. And my grandfather actually worked there as a maintenance man. And it's closed down now, but it's so growed up and everything that, and there's still gob piles out there. There's still the old machine shed out there. There's a lot of abandoned buildings here in southern Illinois. There's not very many caves, to my knowledge. If there's any going to be any caves, they're going to be in the national parks, and they're not going to be too far from where the roads run through the national parks. So that would, in my opinion, would rule out them using caves. If they are, they're possibly denning up in barns or abandoned homes. Or they're building beds in deadfall.
Okay. Kat's wondering if they are nomadic and they just camp in spots like deer do. And so when we see this area that's all smushed down, we just assume it's deer, but maybe it's also Bigfoot?
I believe so. In the last couple of years, whenever I started really documenting the clans that started coming through here back in 2015, I documented 4 different clans, and the reason I say clans is because it's certain different hair color that I find, certain ones that I see that look different, and their characteristics that are changed. There are the Yahoos, which have a very distinct scream, and if you've seen Mountain Monsters with the Yahoo, they make the exact same scream. So the Yahoo, I believe, travels through here. There is the whistling ones that they make a whistling noise. I've found other reports of a similar Bigfoot around the Ozarks and in Kentucky that make a real high-pitched whistling noise along with a sort of a screech. Then there's the Thunder Giant, which is, I believe, to be the alpha male that rules the roost out here. And that's a big, around 9-10 foot tall, grayish-colored Sasquatch. Big, very ripped. And then there's the Wild Men. And I think the Wild Men are the ones that are coming out here and that's been knocking on our house and hitting the house because they're really bold.
So you're mentioning different kinds of Bigfoot and the different names, but do they look different? Do you think they're different species or like different clans? What do you think?
Well, let me use this as an example. You know how with Spaniards and French and British and then Americans, we have different accents. I think they're the same kind of thing. It's just different characteristics they picked up from the different areas that they go through. Like monkey see, monkey do, the elders in their clans do it, so it's the younger ones in the clan that does the same thing. So basically it's a hereditary trait for each clan. But I believe that it's just characteristics of every group that comes through here.
All right. And then Maria is asking how you're documenting your research and what approaches you take to do so.
Basically, I just I go and I have my little field kit with me. It's always batteries, a tape measure, baby powder, plaster of Paris, and a mixing pan with a jug of water. That's my field kit, along with rubber gloves, some type of way if I find a hair, possible hair, I can extract that and keep it to where I can send it in to SIU for DNA testing at their forensics lab. Then I have my digital recorders. I have two of them. They're Olympia digital recorders. And then I have two camcorders that I use to document. And a lot of it is basically just eyes and ears. And a little
note
in my pocket.
Yes, I was just out buying more SD cards for our upcoming Bigfoot expedition. And boy, a girl could go broke spending on SD cards. I tell you what, 40 minutes of HD video can fit on a 32 gig. And how many of those are we going to go through on a week-long expedition? You just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, we're coming to the end of the show, Zach. And I want to make sure that we have time to have you tell the listeners where they can find you. Where can they find you online?
Find me on Facebook, Zach D. Sterrick, Sterrick. You can find me there. Just drop me a message. I love talking to new folks. Find me with the Southern Illinois Monster Hunters on our Facebook page. Southern Illinois Monster Hunters is the way it sounds. Type it in there in the search engine, and it'll pop up, and it'll be a picture of me with my Bigfoot silhouette I call Mojo. We just drop a like, share us with your friends. If you have a report you would like to turn into us, do so right there. There is my email is there in the about on the page, so that way if you want to send it to me either in a message to the Facebook page, you could contact the whole team and one of us will get back to you. Or if you want to send it to me personally, just send it to me to my personal email. Also, be sure to check out my YouTube channel, Southern Illinois Monster Hunters, of the same name. I am uploading, working on Season 3 right now, Season 3 for my podcast. Backwoods Investigations is underway, and there's all-star lineup. Also, July 27th in Crab Orchard, Illinois, at the Crab Orchard Public Library, the first annual Southern Illinois Monster Bigfoot Seminar will be there. It's going to start at 6 o'clock, not 4 6.
All right. So you're breaking up, Zach, so I'm just going to stop you there. And I'm going to say you can meet Zach at the Virginia Bigfoot Conference in at the Augusta Expo in Fishersville, Virginia, June 30th and July 1st. We will be there. The She Squatchers will be there and a whole bunch of others. Check it out at virginiabigfootcon.com. And there'll be lots more to come. Next week, we're talking to Dr. John Stamey about the possible connection between Lizard Man and Bigfoot. You can find more information about him at lizardmanfestival.com. And hey, this is the Journey Radio Show. We want to thank you for coming on. And thank you, Jenna, for coming on. Hey, we're the She Squatchers at shesquatchers.com. And hey, chill out, everybody. We'll see you next week. Good night.